Hey, we're live here with Dr. Dale and the Sideshow. How about that for a new name here for our webcast, our Tuesday night webcast? Welcome and God bless all of you, and I'm so glad that you dialed in to join us. Of course, since you've been in on the webpage, you've seen a couple of things listed, the archives from last week's teaching, and I just put a couple other notes up there. If you want to hit your refresh button, you'll see some links that I'm going to use for this week's sharing. But God bless you all in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. I've received several reports this week from people who is excited about the teaching on Rahab. And so we're here going to do a little bit more about Rahab tonight. Maybe for those of you that just joined us or didn't have an opportunity to dial into the archives, let me give you a little review here about what we talked about last week, and then you can go back and listen to it on the archive page of the website. But the supposition that we have been building on and laid quite a bit of evidence earlier is that there is a mention of a place called Rahab in the Bible. And my supposition in sharing this with you is that I believe that it is, in fact, the name of the planet that Lucifer lived on. And I've got some more documentation to show you in addition to what I did last week. But there's three usages of Rahab in the Bible that indicates that it is not just the little harlot girl from Jericho, but it's Psalm 87:4 and Psalm 89:10 and Isaiah 51:9. In Isaiah 51:9, it says, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord, awake, as in the ancient days, in the generations of old, art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? And Rahab is a place here, you see, from ancient days and generations of old, that it was a physical place. In Psalm 89:10, it again says, thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. So whatever Rahab is certainly not the little girl from Jericho. But then the last usage here that's using the word Rahab, in Psalm 87:4, where it says, I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon. And I'm going to show you a connection tonight between Rahab and Babylon out of Isaiah chapter 14. But then it goes on to say, I'll make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Again, in review here, and God bless all of you for your interest in these things, my point in sharing these details and specifics in the Bible is not just for itching ears, but it's the purpose of targeting our college-age students and let them know that the Bible is anything but boring, that this is the Word of God. And whenever I get into, later on into tonight, talking about the precessional equinox and the timeline that it circumscribes in the heavens over a 26,000-year period, you'll know that God is anything else but boring. So, back to Rahab. Whatever Rahab is, it was broken into pieces. And the supposition that we built last week going into Ezekiel chapter 28, which is another verse that people oftentimes use in describing functions of Satan or of Lucifer, there's the usages in Ezekiel 28 where it says that he walked among the stones of fire. That's in verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covered, I have set thee so. Thou hast walked upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. And then it goes on down here in verse 16, again talking about the covering cherub from the midst of the stones of fire. The stones of fire, apparently, from all the research I've been able to do and putting it together and banging around the Bible for a while, is that the stones of fire are the planets that reflect the heat and fire of the sun. And that Lucifer, in fact, and this is deduction-wise, but Lucifer, in fact, was an anointed cherub that lived on this planet Rahab. We're going to see from Isaiah chapter 14 the double metaphor that's used here, that there's quite a bit of description about what took place on this planet. Anyway, the building of the supposition here, and this is quite pivotal in our understanding of what's going to come up in the very near future of dealing with astronomical dating, but Apparently, the scenario that took place between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, there was a cataclysmic event that took place that destroyed the earth upon which we live. And we see, picking up the record in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and it says, "And the earth became," accurately, "without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep." That's an identical prophecy that Jeremiah had, and Jeremiah was taken back in time, apparently, and shown this. But it says in Jeremiah 4:23, "I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void in the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly." We read this last week, and I may go over and read it again, because it talks about what took place at the presence of the Lord in his fierce anger, according to Jeremiah 4:26. But something made him mad, and what made him mad was that Lucifer had attempted a rebellion to overthrow the angels of God that were living on these civilizations, on the planets within our solar system. Now, before you start saying you're getting a little bit wild about you're talking about people out here living on planets in our solar system, I'll tell you something else a little bit wild, and that is, I believe that the end of the age is going to be ushered in by Jesus Christ coming out of the heaven with angelic beings to set foot on the earth. So if you want to get stretched, let's just go ahead and get stretched that we're talking about an invasion of a guy that's coming back to earth with angelic beings and also regenerated people for the purpose of stomping out evil and annihilating the children of darkness from the earth. So we're already pretty well stretched out here, but, you know, I'm doing this focusing for you college students and asking you some questions here. You know, where did this Lucifer guy come from? I mean, has he always been around? Was he always around? And I'm not so preoccupied with understanding where the devil came from, aside from the fact I know where he's going. But I am interested in understanding about this planet Rahab, because it's in the Bible. And apparently, from my understanding and the same things that's been gathered from other individuals around, there's been a lot of secrets that has been withheld from the people of God that was stashed and tucked away probably during the Dark Ages when the Roman Catholics turned out the light and decided that all of us infidels or peons or peasants didn't have the brains to understand these things. And so in blocking out or leaving out the canon, out of the canon of Scripture, the Book of Enoch or the Book of Jubilees, at least making them in consideration for them, we missed a lot of truths that took place, that went on, that we don't read about even in the canon of the Scripture. Just to verify that again, just let me say this. We live and die by the 66 books that's in the Bible. We know they're the truth, and we know that it's all truth that's there. We just don't believe that everything that is true is written in the 66 books of the Bible, and that there's other things that we can learn from other sources. But for sure, the basics of our absolute belief system comes in the 66 books of the canon. But hey, I'm reading out of Psalm 87, out of Psalm 89, and out of Isaiah 51 about this place called Rahab. It's also mentioned in Job in chapter 26 and verse 12, but you don't see it, because it's the word proud. The word proud is in the Hebrew, and it is the word Rahab. It says, "He divided the sea with his power, and by his understanding he findeth Rahab." And then, anyway, in summary, what we're talking about here is Lucifer endeavored to create a mutiny and get the angels of God to rally around him and worship him. And I've got some things I want to show you from the Word tonight, and I'm going to Isaiah chapter 14, and I'm going to teach textually here all the way to the end of this chapter. And I think this is one of the things that, because we don't go all the way to the end of the chapter, we don't really see the full truth about what is being talked about here. Well, in this entire ordeal in Isaiah 14, there is an address against the proverb of the king of Babylon in verse 4. And this is a double metaphor in that it's allegorically drawing a picture of the king of Babylon and Lucifer. And we'll see this come up at the end. But the major thing that God is showing here in the comparison between the king of Babylon and Lucifer is that he utterly destroyed both of them. And that's the point. And that if, would you go back to Psalm 87:4 when it says, I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon. That means that God's got the potential to destroy whatever he wants to. But as in Isaiah chapter 14, when you get down to verse 12, and this is where a lot of people began studying this subject about Lucifer. But if you pick up the context earlier about this, you can see other parallels of the king of Babylon. But I want you to notice in verse 12, and I want you to bury your preconceived understanding of what you thought you knew, because what this is going to tell you here is absolute validation and verification of this planet Rahab that Lucifer lived on, and it's going to tell you about it right now. It said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Look at this. How art thou cut down to the ground, which is weak in the nations? Now, again, in case you're just picking this up and weren't with us last week, the scenario that took place when God became incensed and his fierce anger boiled over at Lucifer for creating the mayhem and trying to merchandise the angels, as Ezekiel 28 talks about. He blasted Rahab with meteorites or with stones of fire or hail, fire, and brimstone or whatever it is. But he blasted Rahab, and he either did one of two things. He either blew it to pieces, which it may say that, you know, in the scriptures, but also we may see the remnants of it. He may have blasted it out of the orbit of our solar system, which in one way or the other, if it did get blasted out of the solar system, there's going to be great claims made by fallen angels that there's going to be a return of Rahab to the earth in the year 2012 at the winter solstice. Been studying that quite a bit and trying to learn some things to get ahead of the power curve. But let's come back to Isaiah 14. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Or that would be morning star. How art thou cut down to the ground, which is weak in the nations? If you'll notice in the double allegory here, the double metaphor, it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, or morning star? That says that this planet Rahab that Lucifer lived on was cut down to the ground. What it says. And it says, son of the morning is morning star. Apparently, Rahab was the sixth planet in the order from the sun. Then it went Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, then Rahab, then Jupiter, and then Saturn that was visible with the naked eye. But this, when it was cut down to the ground, how art thou cut down to the ground, this son of the morning, this Rahab planet, was also called the morning star, and you could actually see it after the sun came up on the horizon, like sometimes you can Venus even now. Venus was the bright and morning star. But this apparently was the star that you could see in the evening when the sun set and in the morning whenever it came up, and it was brilliant, indicative of Lucifer. But it says, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation? Now watch this closely. It says, for thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and that is angels. I will sit also upon the mountain of congregation in the sides of the north. And it goes on to say, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, be like the most high. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. When this says that he was going to sit upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north, this is one of the greatest secrets that you can learn about biblical astronomy. When it says in the sides of the north, now, I happen to be very fond of the word sides, but it actually what it means is the boundaries of the north. And the boundaries of the north of our planet are marked out by the North Pole, by the polarity of the North Pole, but it makes a circle in the heavens which marks out the boundaries of the north. And this circle that's made in the heavens is the precessional equinox. Now, This precessional equinox is one of the most amazing pieces of understanding that I've ever run into in doing biblical research, and I'm going to talk much more about that tomorrow night. But apparently, just let me give you a little rundown about this, and this relates very specifically to Rahab, because by doing this, I believe I can give you a time when Rahab was destroyed and began to work from the timeline of the precessional equinox. But let me continue on with what this story is about Lucifer as it comes to an interesting crescendo. Let's pick it up in verse 14, then I'll come back to the sides of the north here in a little bit. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud, I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell through the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and to shake kingdoms? That made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners. Now let's do a little bit of inference here relative to what this is referring to. But if you cross-reference this with Jeremiah chapter 4 of what took place before the Adamic civilization was created, in that he was brought down to hell and he made the earth to tremble, shook kings, made the world a wilderness, destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners. I'm making some inference here, but apparently there were individuals in the solar system that Lucifer was trying to seduce and coerce, but apparently there was some that didn't follow him. In other words, they were true followers of Yahweh, and he imprisoned them. And then when it came time for Rahab to be destroyed, he left them in the prisons, and they were destroyed at the same time that the planet was. So this guy Lucifer is a real creep. But one way or the other, he is the one that created the mutiny and the insurrection in Isaiah and Ezekiel. Chapter 28 talks about, verse 19, that thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword that goes down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden underfoot. I'm working on putting the details together for this, but I'm pretty sure that these are celestial references in the heavens that we can find that prophetically tells about his demise. But if you notice, it goes on to say, thou shalt not be joined with them. That's the kings of the other worlds in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. And this references their seeds of Satan on the earth that will not be renowned. Verse 21, prepare slaughter for his children for the iniquity of their fathers, for they that do not rise nor possess the land nor feel the face of the whirlwind cities, for I will rise against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off Babylon, the name and remnant and son and nephew, saith the Lord. So the reason I wanted to read all of this all the way through to this thing with Babylon is because God is making the illustration here that he is going to destroy Babylon. Just as he destroyed Rahab, just as he annihilated Lucifer's attempted overthrow of him. But this, when you go back to verse 14, verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? This again is making references to the planet Rahab that Lucifer lived upon, and that it was cut down to the ground, that in effect it was blown up. You know, taking a breath here and slowing down a little bit. There is an asteroid belt, and if you go to the link that I put on our website on the crop circles, you can go to and look at the layout of these crop circles, and most of these representations of our solar system, it shows the positioning of the planets at the year 2012 at our winter solstice. Whenever you look at these crop circles, you can see the inner ring of planets, which is Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars, and then there's a wide band that comes before Jupiter, and then Saturn, and then Neptune, Uranus, and Pluto. But the wide band in there to the ground. And, you know, there's a good practical lesson in this, and that is it's not nice to trifle with an omniscient God. And but for sure, there was this place, Rahab, that existed before. And, again, we're making suppositions, but there's a lot of suppositions that, or a lot of pieces of the pie or dots that can be connected when you consult apocryphal works and how they augment the truth of the Scripture. Let me jump in here real quick and talk to you about the sides of the north and the precessional equinox that reveals a lot of what went on during the time of Rahab's destruction. So, hang in here with me, and there is another link on the website there to a on the right side of the page, which is for crystallinks.com/precession.html, and it's an article about the precession of the equinox. And this is a little bit involved, but it gives the key to understanding what happened whenever Rahab was annihilated and Satan was cast down. But the precessional equinox is a circle that's made in the heavens by a line that our pole, our north pole, circumscribes in the heavens. And it draws a big circle, and the constellations that it goes through tells a great story. And as you look at the article on the precession equinox there, if you can boot it up and get to it, when you move down, there's several pictures that will be very interesting to you. But this circle that it makes in the heavens is another reference that the Bible covers about the circle that is made in the heavens. And these are fabulous usages in the Bible. I want to give them to you so that you can see. Now, I ain't making this up. Hallelujah. But in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 2, it says that that it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. And the circle of the earth is the circle that the precessional equinox makes. And likewise, it's used in Proverbs 8, verse 27, when he said, when he prepared the heavens, I was there, when he set a compass upon the face of the deep. A compass shows north, and upon the face of the deep is the face upon all of the firmament between the surface of the earth and the other side of the universe. But likewise, in Job chapter 22, verse 14, it says, thick clouds are a covering to him that he seeth not, and he walketh in the circuit of the heavens. Now, this circuit of the heavens is this thing that's made by the precessional equinox, the line that's in the heavens that cuts and circumscribes the big circle in the heavens. This has got a storyline that spans a 26,000 year period. It takes the entire precessional equinox, 26,000 years approximately, to make its cycle. But the details as far as what took place in this last 26,000 years is absolutely flabbergasting and really sets some details about potentially when Rahab could have been destroyed. I really need for you to look up this and see these pictures on the precessional equinox, and this will give you a better understanding about what took place before God created Adam, or mankind as we are, in the civilizations that existed before. If you pulled up the article on the precession of the equinox from crystallinks.com, there's a picture of the circle that the heavens make. And it's a 26,000 year period. And we can date the beginning and end of it by the tail of the dragon that's in it. But at 9,000 B.C., the pole star was in Hercules, which puts Hercules' foot on the top of the dragon, which potentially is when Rahab was thrown down. If you go around the circle just previous to Hercules is Lyra, which shows the praises of God. And potentially Lucifer was the one that would sing the praises to God. And as we see this in Ezekiel chapter 28, in verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, the stones that were his covering, but it says, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou was created. Apparently, there was great praising of God that went on before the throwing down of the dragon that happened about 9,000 B.C. But previous to that, when you follow around the circuit, it gives the history of what took place in the previous 26,000 years, that Almighty God Yahweh was enjoyed as the great supreme potentate as he really is, and that the as you proceed around the precessional equinox, that it passed through, the pole star passed through the constellation of Cygnus, and Cygnus is a beautiful swan in the heavens that swims in the Milky Way, but as the North Pole, as our pole star crossed through Cygnus, it was indicative of the price that was paid for redemption to take place. But the neat thing about this is if you've heard my teaching on the supernova of Bethlehem, the supernova of Bethlehem exploded in the bottom fourth of the cross that the northern cross of Cygnus makes, and it was exactly 180 degrees across from the precessional equinox circle whenever Jesus was born. But the regardless of what I'm trying to get to here is that there's a storyline in the precessional equinox, and I intend to teach you that next week, but I want to get back to Rahab here because, and again, if you booted this up, and if you can't, then you can get to it later on by going back to the archives and checking this link. But there's a couple of other pictures in this article that are absolutely fascinating because it gives the timeline of when these things took place. And if you're familiar at all with constellations that are in the heavens, you can see how the dragon and incorporates a third of the heavens. And so if you can look at this picture that's in front of you from 9,000 B.C. down to 0 B.C., that timeline is how the precession was marking the North Pole, and it ran out of the tail of the dragon at 0 B.C., or more particularly at 33 A.D., when Jesus was raised from the dead. But this is indicative of Revelation chapter 12, and I know this is a little bit complicated. Hang in here with me, and I'll go through all this, and then I'll summarize for you, and continue to teach it to you till you get it. But it's when it says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. That means the third part of the stars were divided out by the constellation Draco, and it ruled over the heavens for he ruled over that heavenly aspect for approximately one third of the precessional equinox time of the 26,000 years. And so at or about the time of 9,000 B.C., figuring from the linear truths of the text of the Bible that mankind was created about 4,000 B.C., from the time of 9,000 B.C. to the time of about 4,000 B.C. is the emptiness that went on before Genesis 1-2, and then God began to recreate the earth and put it in position. position for mankind to inhabit it. But this Lucifer character has been a real bugaboo, and he is called the serpent. If you go back to it, in verse 9 of Revelation 12, and the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. But this is the being the angel, the third of the angels, whose tail that threw down to the ground is marked by the precessional equinox. Now, this thing about the precessional equinox is absolutely fascinating to understand exactly how it works. But just let me give you an overview of something here that, and I hope that this challenges you college students to really begin looking at the in-depthness of some of these things that has cloaked beneath the surface in the Bible. But the whole universe, I figured this out the other day, and it absolutely stunned me that our galaxy is the Milky Way. It's a spiral galaxy, and the spiral that it's in is the Sagittarian galaxy. And so we're always, our sun is always following Sagittarius in the Milky Way. The Milky Way, the spiral turns clockwise. And then the sun follows Sagittarius in a clockwise rotation. And then our Earth rotates clockwise in a clockwise rotation. But the precessional equinox turns backward from the rest of the movement in the universe. And it's really, in effect, what makes the Earth habitable is the angle of the polarity of our poles, which gives us the change of our seasons each year. But as the Earth ticks backwards and actually moves against time, it precesses, and what it says is that each day of the year for 300 will be the equinox for 72 years, and then it traces backwards through the calendar for 365 days, and 365 times 72 gives you the number of years of the great year, and the great year will be concluding this year in 2012. But this entire 26,000 year period, you know, as it says in Cygnus the Swan, it takes the swan 26,000 years to make his circle of the heavens. And every 26,000 years, the pole star goes back to the one that it is now. Now, right now, we have a pole star of Polaris, but God, people, to understand this, where we are in the time of this, we are just getting ready for the pole star to leave Polaris and go into Cephas, which has got incredible prophetic significance. Anyway, let's come back and do some summary on this thing and put some rhyme and reason to it. I was talking to a friend of mine today, doing some research, a good friend of mine, Benny Holman, who's helped me do some research and background work in understanding the heavens. And Vinny said, Dale, this is all real good, but what good is it, you know, if it's just information that causes people's ears to itch and they're just want to know information? It's just Gnosticism. Well, no, it's not. And the reason that it's not just Gnosticism is because this is all prophetic about what is about to take place on the earth, that whenever we precede or move into the next age and era that's going to take place, we're going to see the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of Glory. And with all the hell that's getting ready to come on the earth, my friend, you will need a serious amount of hope to hold on, because he's coming. We think we've just gone through some bad times, maybe in the elections. Of course, maybe you feel like there are good times in the elections and we're ready for change. Well, we're going to have change, and the Bible prophesies that we are going to have change. So, and back to our discussion on the subject of the planet Rahab, there was a heavenly body that we can, from inference, we can see that there's a missing space, and actually in the concentric circles of our solar system. there's also, you can see that there's an asteroid belt there that somebody broke things in pieces. And that the thing was broken in pieces. We've gotten several verses of scripture in the heavens that that tell us that Rahab was broken in pieces. And then we see from Isaiah 14:11 that something was cut down to the ground, and it was the planet that Lucifer lived on. And it's very obvious that Lucifer lived before Adam did. And so the belief is once his planet was destroyed or knocked out of orbit, that he was confined and resigned and captured and inhabited and made to stay on the earth while his evil angels were imprisoned and not allowed to come to the earth, some of them anyway. So the point of all of this is that there's some interesting information that can be derived from studying these things, and it's all to the end of, if we don't know our history, we're doomed to repeat it. And so I'm excited about sharing some of these secrets with you. And again, just let me mention this to you. I'm endeavoring to fish and use good bait. I want you college students to be excited. I'm not trying to tell you everything that I know about this. I want to salt your oats so that you can learn these things on your own and see these. But there is a science of biblical astronomy that is absolutely, absolutely flabbergasting. And so, but we can trace all through all this stuff. And I'm going to do some teaching on the precessional equinox next week on our time. And but it'll help you to understand this. Within this next week, read this article on the precession of the equinoxes. It's at crystallinks.com /precession.html. It's an excellent article, and it will show you how the Earth backs up around rather than flowing in conjunction with the rest of the universe. But in the pictures that accompany this article, you can see the timeline and how things progressed according to the time, according to the location of the pole star. And so we're still watching this thing develop, but this 26,000-year period, it tells a history of the world that took place before the defrocking and throwing down of Lucifer, the annihilation of Rahab, the creation of mankind, you know, his demise or suffering at the hand of Satan, and then for Jesus Christ to come to the earth, and then even the age in which we're in now is all told by the story of the precessional equinox. But I got through the precessional equinox by saying in Isaiah chapter 14 that Satan wanted to ascend to the sides of the north. And this sides of the north, the boundaries of the north, marks the circuit of the heavens that God sits upon, and marks the cycle, the precessional equinox cycle of 26,000 years. One more thing. I've done a lot of reading on E.W. Bullinger and Joseph Seiss and their understanding of the gospel and the stars, and most of these guys work according to the ecliptic path of the sun. The ecliptic path of the sun is a major revelation, but the understanding of the precessional equinox and the revelation that's in it is a hidden truth that's waiting for us to mine out in this our day and time when knowledge increases. So praise God for that little Bible lesson. That's a little bit of the esoterics. But I got on the line here with me my best buddy and friend for ages, Russ Chandler. And Russ, I'm going to see if I can put him on here. On the line here with us, and we may in fact be able to do that here. So we'll try to patch him in. I've been excited about this study of the Word of God in the heavens, and I wanted to be able to do this and present some teachings on biblical astronomy so that everybody can gain an understanding of what it is that's so exciting about this. But, you know, Psalm 19 talks about that the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament shows his handiwork. Day in the day they utter speech, and night in the night they show knowledge. It's a great revelation that we have of the Word of God written in the heavens, and there's a lot that we can know by studying. Okay, we're going to try Russ again here. So, all right. Again, I apologize for dumping you and Russ Chandler. Russ is the vice president of the ministry, so I'm really in trouble. I made him mad and all of you too. But it's all Jack's fault. That's why we keep Jack around, so we can blame it on him. I'm going to try to figure this stuff out so I can have you guys call in. I'd wanted to minister healing with some of you tonight, maybe over the phone, and get some questions and answers, but we're still trying to work some of these details out here, and as I said before, I'm technologically challenged. Let me give you a little review about what we've been talking about here. I feel like that you've been sipping through a fire hose. I have, in my desires and motives for ministry, I have wanted for many years to be able to really reach the college students. And I know that when I was in college that I was assaulted by the gates of hell and my Christian faith and my beliefs. And I really felt like I was going to bat against the devil with nobody to really help me. And I want to be able to be a resource for you college students to be able to help you. And so, you know, I'm going to get to some things and have many things posted on our website that will help you in the foundational Bible basics to be able to learn how to read and study the Word of God. And I have a series of mobile minutes with Dr. Dale that I'm going to be sending to you, and you can click on them, and they will remind you of salient Bible truths and also the different programs that we're going to be doing here online. But I've wanted to equip you college students with understanding that you don't need to be ashamed of the gospel that you represent, and that the individuals that are being led away with a strong delusion, that are taking shots at God and shots at the Bible, let me tell you something. We skipped ahead and read the end of the book, and we win in the end. And let me remind you of this, that the Word of God is 100% prophetically accurate. And I've studied some of the old astrologers of ages gone by, and I understand how Nostradamus prophesied and how the oracles of Delphi work. Now, I understand a little bit about how Edgar Cayce accessed the spirit world and all the things he did. But let me tell you this, there's only one true, reliable, prophetic word in the entire universe, and his name is Yahweh. And he is at the center of it, and he alone knows the end from before the beginning. And I want to tell you, there are things that we are getting ready to experience because we're living and walking down the corridor of time that is going to be absolutely, here I'm going to use a crazy word, it's going to be absolutely flipping frightening. And it's going to be scary. And I'm telling you, I'm trying to get ahead of the power curve of these things that's going to happen in the year 2012. And I'm not making it up. I had to go back to my fundamental understanding of astronomy and physics and figure out what's going on with this entire precessional equinox thing and what's happened in 2012. Let me tell you something. It is not a gimmick and it's not a gag. And as our sun follows Sagittarius toward the middle of the Milky Way, it will be Sagittarius, it will be in the sun, and his bow will be pointed at the mouth of the Milky Way on the winter solstice of 2012. And this is a very, 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 very pivotal day in the history of the Earth because it completes the great year of 25,920 years. Plato discovered this, Hippocrates, or however you say his name, in 125 B.C. Discovered this, or they give him credit for discovering it. But we're in a 26,000-year cycle that the precessional equinox inscribes in the heavens and gives the story about what has taken place in those years. And I'm excited about doing some more teaching on it to show you what's about to transpire at the end of the age. We are getting ready to see a change, and it's not going to happen by the government of Washington, D.C. It's going to happen by the government. It's going to take place on Mount Zion. And back to this thing about prophecy. Don't let your college professors dupe you. Don't let them belittle your faith whenever they laugh at you and say, well, Jesus is the only way. Listen, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And all these guys that make up their things and say what they're going to say, the book of Enoch and the book of Jude prophesies about these ungodly people and their ungodly ways. They won't get by with it. And we are going to see God's judgment fall on the earth. Let me tell you, if what I'm seeing is true, you need to have the hope to hold the anchor of your soul firmly fixed on the principles of the Word of God. And who knows how many people on the earth are going to die before the end of the age and the ushering in of the Millennial Kingdom. If we got to go through the book of Revelation, already we see, you know, about a fourth of them die at the opening of the sixth seal, and then we see a bunch more of them die at the end of the first one, the second one, the third of them die when, you know, the pit is open. Death is going to be very interesting. When you start opening the six seals, by the time you get to the sixth seal, let me tell you, you read about the seals in the book of Revelation, you'll find out that something of a cataclysmic nature is going to happen to the earth. For the hills to move slightly and the mountains to move, it indicates that we may have a shifting of the magnetic fields in the earth, which is potentially what does happen at the end of the age, which we'll be seeing at the winter solstice of 2012. Well, one thing or the next, as we continue to study about the Word of God written in the heavens, I'm going to open some resources to you to help you understand this. A book I've been looking at is David Flynn's book. David Flynn has done a book on Sidonia, The Secret Chronicles of Mars. It's got some of the most wild research relative to biblical astronomy that I've ever seen. And it's not an easy read. I've been reading Brother Flynn's book on Temple at the Center of Time, which is a fascinating read as well. But let me assure you that the God that created the heavens and the earth, his name is Yahweh. He is your Father. And the plan of salvation is written in the heavens that he was going to send his son Yeshua, Ben Yahweh, the son of Yahweh, to the earth to redeem mankind. And we certainly need to be redeemed, and we are still trying to struggle and overcome from the residual effect of what the angels have sowed in our society, according to what Genesis chapter 6 talks about in other places in the scripture. So this deal about planet Rahab, there's a dual supposition that Rahab was blasted to pieces, and then the residual angels that were on it and other places of the solar system had been imprisoned in hollow places, and this is what the book of Enoch talks about. But Jude verse 6 has certainly got a revelation that just is begging to be explained, which says that there is a group of angels that have been imprisoned, and that they are going to be loosed at the end of time, that they're in chains under darkness. Now, I know where that under darkness is, and I'm going to tell you next week, because, well, actually, I'll tell you where it is now. It's the southern end of the precessional equinox is where this is. Anyway, we're stretching out and getting a little bit thin on some of our suppositions, but there's one thing that we're not supposing, and that is that Jesus Christ is going to return from heaven as the King of Glory, as the Word of God prophesies in the linear scripture of the book of Revelation, also in the book of Daniel, but it's also in the precessional equinox inscription and also in the ecliptic path in the heavens that declares the glory of God, that Jesus Christ is really coming back to earth. I hope you get an opportunity to look at this chart on the precessional equinox, but if you'll draw a line directly across 180 degrees across from where the supernova exploded in the vertical piece of the Northern Cross is 180 degrees opposite exactly when Jesus Christ was born. You just can't make that stuff up. And also diametrically across the center of the heavens, you've got Hercules' foot on the head of the dragon. On the other side of the heavens, you've got Cephas' foot on his head as well. There's a lot of great stuff that we can learn about the precessional equinox, and we're going to get into some of those things on the next program. I again apologize for not being able to incorporate these lines in. Thought we had it figured out, but guess what? Technology is smarter than me. But we'll figure that out later on. I was going to get Brother Russ to give you a short Bible teaching or yell at you about your character or something. You know, he seems to do a lot better job teaching the fundamentals, and I do a whole lot better job teaching the peripherals. But if there's anybody that's going to yell at you, Russ is a good one to do it, because he's got a lot of love, and he's a big guy, so you can't shuck and jive him. But I love you all, and I'm thankful for this. Look, I'm going to send you out an email next week reminding you that this is coming up, and also a link to one of our mobile minutes with Dr. Dale. We're still trying to get this stuff lubricated and working, and I'm sure it's going to be an in-process operation for the rest of our lives. Check out the link on crystallinks.com. It's on the website, and there's also an archive to the crop circles so you can see the pictures of the solar system. Just let me say this. We're heading for a real big crescendo, and I want to tell you something, cowboy. This is a great rodeo. I mean, this is a great rodeo, and what an exciting time to be alive. If nothing else, next week I'm going to teach you about the precession of the equinoxes and why the year 2012 and the winter solstice of 2012 is such an instrumental and important date in the circle of the precession equinox. We're living at the end of the great year, which is the end of an age, what the Bible says in Jude verse 6. Hey, pull out Jude verse 6 and work it and see if you can figure out what it's talking about. And I'm going to get back in touch with you next Tuesday to be able to talk about this. Between then and now, I'm going to be heading to Austin, Texas. We'll be teaching exercising spiritual authority. I'm leaving tomorrow about noon and flying in there. I hope some of you can come and join us there, but it's going to be a magnificent time. This will be archived on the website. You can come back and listen to it again to try to get more details of it. Again, one more time, sorry for the technical problems that we've had this evening. We'll try to get those things figured out and be able to work a little more diversity into this thing rather than just hearing me talk all the time. But God bless you. These verses, again, the circle of the heavens is Job 22:14, Proverbs 8:27, and Isaiah 40:22. That circle of the heaven is the sides of the north that Lucifer wanted to rule over. And whenever I show you this picture, and you can see that central in the heavens is the dragon, and on his head is Hercules and Cephas. You know, he's got a butt kicking coming, and we're going to see it happen when Yeshua comes out of the heavens. So it's been great sharing this with you, and thank you for your patience, and we love you. Don't forget to check us out on the archive and anything else that's available on the website. So we love you, and God bless you. Apologize to you, Russ, for not getting to you, and other you guys, we'll get to you one of these days. Love you. God bless you. Have a great night.